Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows and answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is BJ.
And my name is Me Too.
And this week, we're checking out The Queen's Gambit on Netflix, Blood of Zeus on Netflix, Be Positive on CBS, and 2 Weeks to Live on HBO Max.
So stay tuned to the end to find out why BJ and I are best friends forever, even until the world ends.
You'll be really surprised how Me Too blackmailed me into this friendship.
That's the real reveal for the end of the episode, is what I have on you. All right, Beej, speaking of potentially dark pasts, let's go over to 1950s, 1960s, iconic chess history with Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Beej, tell us what happened.
The Queen's Gambit is a new drama series based on a novel by the same name. This is written by Walter Tevis in 1983, but now we're seeing this brought to life, starring Anya Taylor-Joy as our titular character, Elizabeth Harmon. And it's all about her as an orphan chess prodigy. So it opens up with her in Paris in 1967, and we see her about to do a very big chess match against someone else famous, their reporters, their cameras. And while she's beginning the match, she kind of has a flashback. So then we get an origin of her childhood. We learn about her losing her mother in a car accident. We learn about her father becoming estranged. And we see her entering an orphanage. Here at this orphanage, it's run by Mrs. Deerdorf, played by Christiane Seidel, who is pretty strict, but she has some people there to support her. Fellow orphan Jolene, played by Moses Ingram, and an unlikely friend in the custodian, Mr. Shable, played by Bill Camp, who she sees playing chess, and this sparks her new journey where she finds out that she's good at chess. So Me Too, what were your initial thoughts about Beth Harmon's humble beginnings as a poor orphan girl playing chess in the basement?
Okay, so listen to yourself. Beth's humble beginnings as a poor orphan girl playing chess. None of those things should work for the average Netflix viewer, at least for me. Mm-hmm. A show set in the 50s and then in the 60s about the game of chess that is paced like the game of chess, to me feels like it would be really boring. And instead, it wasn't. It was interesting and it got dark and complex. So at the orphanage, they, because shout out to the 50s, supply the kids with tranquilizers and uppers in order to balance or stabilize their moods. I'm putting up finger quotes. This is an audio medium. And so we see children go through withdrawal. This is truly a full origin story of a pilot episode. You see how she ended up being this genius chess champion, but with demons and substance use issues.
Yeah, it was really fascinating how they were able to make us care about this child who, shout out to the actor Isla Johnson, who plays young Beth. She doesn't actually have that many lines. She plays a very quiet young girl, but you're able to see how much she's thinking. And there are some scenes, thanks to these special vitamins, that we kind of see how her mind works. But it's really interesting how watching her think is entertaining.
We also got to fall in love with these side characters. So as you shared, the custodian who taught her how to play chess and put that fire in her, her friend Jolene, played by Moses Ingram, who actually tries to meter out her withdrawal by not having her cut off cold turkey. Because also this orphanage, after supplying these children with tranquilizers for however long, they just cut them off cold turkey when America goes, oh, we should not give kids these.
Yeah, the state realizes it's bad. And Jolene is actually looking out for Beth, which is really nice because Jolene is older. She's been at the orphanage longer. She's very blunt when she lets Beth know the older you get, the less likely you're going to get adopted. So this is kind of life.
And she said that as a black girl, she has a lower chance of being adopted.
Yeah, you're either old or you're black. Those really decrease your chances of getting adopted. And she warns Beth about these drugs, does help Beth get more drugs, and starts but also is playing an older sister in a sense that we get hints of Beth having maybe potential feelings for boys, and Jolene also giving her information to help feed this new curiosity that comes along with puberty.
Even when a new girl comes along and Beth seems distressed in front of her, Jolene doesn't allow her to express distress so that they can have as calm an environment as possible for this new girl. So she's also teaching Beth empathy and sympathy. So that was a really sweet dynamic to witness. And I wonder if we'll get to see older Jolene in any future episodes.
That would be nice. I think it's going to be a lot of Beth and Mr. Schabel, since he is her chess coach right now. And I'm wondering, you know, how long will he be a good enough teacher for her? Because she's already better than him.
She's better than him and the high school coach at the fancy school.
That's right. She's better than the high school coach at the local high school. She's better than all the players in the high school club. And she continues to learn new strategies and has this fire to become better at chess. And I'm wondering where that's going to lead her and if Mr. Schabel will follow her along on that journey.
The way you said that made me think of that Michelle Obama video that she recorded for Beyonce's homecoming. It's like, hey, B, you've done it again. Constantly raising the bar for us all.
Hey, Beth. You did it again. You found a new opening.
Hey, Queen's Gambit.
Oh, yeah. Fun fact, guys, for those who didn't know, like me, as a chess novice, the Queen's Gambit is an opening move.
Oh, okay. Shout out to that. What would you rate Queen's Gambit on Netflix?
I am definitely going to watch this again seriously. Like you said, I was not expecting a series like this to be interesting, but I really am drawn into Beth's story, and I do want to see how this young girl ends up being that young woman we see in the opening. How do you feel?
To give a little peek behind the curtain, listeners, I was very much dragging my feet to watch this show, but so many of you are talking about it that we were like, we need to do it for our listeners to ensure that they know that a show about chess is not super boring and is in fact interesting, and I'm excited to watch more episodes.
Awesome. So how about we switch it up to another series that I think you were hesitant to watch? This is an animated series, but not the fun, happy, bright rainbow type that you like.
Yes, I'm more of a Steven Universe gal. Check out that episode of Steven Universe Future that we did last week. So Beach, tell us what happened on the very dark, very bloody Blood of Zeus on Netflix.
Wow, way to introduce it. Setting the tone. So Blood of Zeus is a new adult animated series on Netflix, and this is set in the world of Greek mythology. So we're seeing the gods we're familiar with, like Zeus, all the other characters from Olympus. We're seeing the giants. But in this setup, the world is now being invaded by demons, and these are humans who have eaten the body of giants, and it's corrupted their physical form as well as their minds. And they start attacking a local town, and that's where we meet our main character, Heron, voiced by Derek Phillips, where he's just trying to fight back and protect his mother. They're just trying to get by, but there are demons ravaging the town. We also get introduced to Alexia, voiced by Jessica Henwick, who is in the Roman city with her troops trying to fight off the demons and protect everyone. And there's also a mysterious character. We're not going to tell you too much about him, but Elias, voiced by Jason O'Mara, who is this mysterious old man who's by Heron's side. And he's also there watching the people in the town fall apart, trying to figure out who are demons in disguise and how are we going to protect ourselves. So Mitu, what did you think of this new take on Greek mythology?
I'm not really a Greek mythology girl. I am very ignorant in this universe. I have vague memories of learning about Greek mythology in school, so I am not exactly fact-checking this against old text. But it was cool, the juxtaposition of the sort of muted voices and animation against very dark concepts. It wasn't very vivid, but you saw someone burn their own arm to prove that they weren't a demon. Or you saw someone literally take a chunk out of a giant to eat part of them. You saw a person get stabbed and then turn into a demon. These are very dark and violent things, but they were juxtaposed against like very muted art.
It's a very dull color palette to the animation, but it's presenting very mature themes that we're more used to seeing in live action on, say, an HBO series.
So, Beach, how do you feel about them creating this character?
It's really interesting that Heron is not a character people are familiar with in Greek mythology, and the show creators are saying that this whole show, Blood of Zeus, is telling the lost history. So this is a Greek myth that never made it into the history books, which I think is a clever way to let them play around with characters like Zeus and Ares that we know from other stories, but now they can twist it around and say, oh, well, there was that time period you guys just didn't know about where all this happened.
If I had to write a show about Greek mythology, I would have to pull the same move. Y'all didn't see the fifth text that they did?
There is a chapter 3.5. That's where all this actually happened.
I'm so sorry that you missed that. I thought that it fit well within mythology. And as we all know, Zeus is an F-boy. And so it felt in line with what I'm vaguely familiar with in the Greek mythology world.
I think the cool thing is you don't need to have that historical knowledge to enjoy this. But like you said, you need to be prepared for the violence. But I'd also say it's really cool action scenes, like the fight choreography that they animated, definitely entertaining.
And Alexia is truly a badass.
So we have some strong characters, and we have hints at the end that Heron's gonna go on a journey to become an even better force against the demons.
So do you see him training up with Alexia, developing some sort of bond? Can you develop bonds in that field of battle?
I think you can bond on the battlefield. When you crush a demon with your fellow soldier, you really just make this memory and connection that'll last for a long time, I believe.
You just made war seem so quaint. He just did like a live, laugh, love pillow for the violence of Greek mythology.
And, you know, I'm okay with that.
You were like, Alexia told Heron, when 4 footprints in the sand turned into 2, that is when I carried you, my boo.
Hashtag let's kill a demon.
Hashtag let's kill a demon. Hashtag friend goals. So, Beach, do you want to watch them hashtag kill demons and hashtag potentially develop friend goals in more episodes of Blood of Zeus on Netflix?
I do. I was captivated by this first episode. It made me want to know more. I feel like I didn't get all the story that I wanted, but in a good way. So I'm ready for episode 2. And in the very beginning, when we kind of see the origins of demons, we see the gods using their powers. And so I'm excited for the point in the story where we get to see some of those powers become more involved in the battles. How do you feel?
I don't think this show is for me. My fellow babies who can't handle super violent themes or super dark themes, as soon as they took that bite out of that giant
animated bite.
Sure. I was like, I don't know if this show is for me. And then when they threw that flesh toward more folks who then piled onto it to eat it, I was like, I just don't know. So with each moment of violence, I took a step back. But I will say that the story is really cool. And if you are into Greek mythology, I do think that you will enjoy this show, even if you are a fellow baby.
That's reasonable.
Thank you for calling me reasonable.
I can give you compliments. So how about we shift to a show that is not violent at all, but does bring up some very serious issues?
I think you're talking about the sitcom about renal failure, Be Positive, on CBS. Be Positive stars Drew, played by Thomas Middleditch, who is a therapist and newly divorced dad. In this fun, light sitcom, again, he learns he's in renal failure and needs a kidney donor. In the first episode, after learning the devastating news, he goes to the wedding of a high school friend and meets Gina, played by Anna Lee Ashford. And she is kind of a mess, but vows to offer him her kidney and stay clean and do whatever it takes so he can get it. So, Beach, how did you feel about it?
This is something, listeners, that Me Too and I discussed when we watched this. It felt like a Chuck Lorre show. And I still have mixed feelings about such a dark story being used for comedic effect. I mean, they're literally joking about Gina's substance abuse and her ability to properly donate an organ when Drew, at this point, seriously needs a kidney transplant. But, you know, if we can't laugh at these dark moments in our life, when can we?
I would say that Chuck Lorre truly does love a dark concept turned sitcom. I think he does it really well on Mom and a lot of people who have struggled with substance use, especially alcoholism, which disproportionately affects women. Talk about how that show really finds the humorous moments and the brightness in an otherwise dark situation because of its relatability. In this case, because it's a show about renal failure, it might not be as widely relatable as people who are familiar with others who have substance use issues or if they themselves have substance use issues. I would say, though, that their chemistry was fun. So typically on a sitcom, especially one on that network, you'll see a dude get to be not a great husband, not a great dad. It's like, oh, Tim, you forgot our anniversary again. Or Drew, feed the kids an actual food and not just candy whenever I'm at work. And so the wife is like, ironically, the straight man character. And then the dude gets to just be this goofball. And in this case, Drew, I mean, couldn't be more of a straight man. He is truly trying not to die. And Gina is the out there wild character. It's very Dharma and Greg meets Consequential for Life.
They definitely make an interesting pair. They have great chemistry from the beginning. So shout out to the actors. It is interesting how Gina is the free character who hasn't left their high school persona behind type of situation. And Drew is trying to be the mature one who has it all together, but unfortunately is struggling through this problem. But I think what's really cool with what Chuck Lorre has done with this series is that they're both really complex. So we know Drew went through a divorce, and we know that he's kind of struggling with his relationship with his daughter. So there's more to him when he has his whole life together. And I'm curious about the therapist aspect of his life. Like, how does he perceive people when he talks to them? And then Gina, even though she drinks excessively, forgets a lot of the things she does, because when she has too much to drink, she ends up turning into Becca. We see that she has such a warm heart, and she's one of those people who just genuinely wants to help other people. And so I want to explore more of that side to her. When we get glimpses of her driving around people at this senior center, you see how easily she can bond with like anyone.
And she keeps track of all of their stories. She knows who needs what. She knows who needs to go to which treatment. She knows about all of their romances and beefs. Those were some of my favorite moments, were her in the van with the elders.
That was a highlight, and it shows she can remember things.
I would also say that Drew and his ex-wife talk about how it was his fault that they got a divorce. So I wonder if we'll get to see more of that. And his ex-wife is played by Sarah Rue, whom I love.
So me too. What are your predictions? We have the premise where Gina offers her kidney to Drew, but we also find out that Gina has to be 3 months sober before her kidney is in a good enough state to be donated. How do you see this playing out for the both of them?
She does have such a big heart, but I wonder what it will take to be sober. She has substance use issues. It's not something that you can just turn off because you really, really want to for your new friend. So I wonder how they'll navigate that, or if they'll find a different donor or alternative means for Drew to get healthier. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like they could go a lot of different directions. I feel like they are going to somehow push off the actual organ donation. Are they going to repeat it every season? Is every season her attempt to stay clean for 3 months? Will he get a donation from someone else, but then there's another reason Gina has to stay in his life? I don't know.
So what do you rate Be Positive on CBS?
I'd watch again while folding laundry.
Okay, that's a lot for you for a sitcom.
It is. You know, the sitcom space in my life is very limited. But like you said, the chemistry on this show was really great. And I think that makes it something I want to go back to. How do you feel?
I'm a sucker for a good Chuck Lorre joint. I think this is one where we talk about this often, put it on my laptop, prop it up in the corner of the kitchen, make a recipe, or in the background as we fold laundry, do emails, things like that. it's funny and I want to watch it where I'm doing something, but I catch the jokes in the background.
So how about we head to another series that is funny, but also mixing in a dark premise?
I think you're talking about 2 Weeks to Live on HBO Max. Not quite renal failure. In this case, we're talking about survivalists. Kim, played by Maisie Williams, is a naive survivalist who was raised to believe that the end times are coming imminently. After a prank leads her to believe that she actually has 2 weeks to live, she sets off to kill the man who murdered her father in front of her when she was a child. We also meet her mother, Tina, played by Sean Clifford, who is also a survivalist, and brothers whom she meets at a bar during her big day out in the real world after escaping her survivalist bunker lifestyle. And their names are Jay, played by Taheen Modoc, and Nikki, played by Mawan Rizwan. Beach, how did you feel about this one?
I was surprised. The very opening scene takes a very quick twist when we realize Kim is not as naive about some of the things in the world as we're presumed to believe. But then as it goes on, we do see that she's this interesting mix of uneducated about what's going on in the world, believing some strange conspiracies taught to her by her mom, but also having questionable morals when it comes to who is it okay to hurt certain people.
That's what felt uneven about the show, that there were moments where she doesn't know what high heels are. She is trying certain foods and drinks for the first time. She gets cheated out of money at a diner. But then she has these moments where she is a total badass and she ends some people's lives. So in those scenes, you go, okay, so she's this super self-assured fighter. And I guess if you were a very well-trained fighter who grew up in a survivalist colony, so you, in this world, don't have access to current news and events, I guess this is how you would be?
I guess. I'll be honest with you, after that first scene in a diner, I thought her whole shtick of being naive about modern society was like a cover, and that she was actually going around taking revenge on people who have done misdeeds. But then we find out that she really doesn't know about high heels and she hasn't flirted with boys in bars.
Speaking of flirting with boys in bars, what do you see between her and Nikki? So they have a classic almost kiss moment, but then because of Jay's prank, she thinks that the world is for real ending, so that kiss is postponed. Do you see that relationship developing romantically?
Unfortunately, I do. I thought it could have been really sweet before Jay just ruined everything by triggering Kim on her belief that the world is ending. But now, once Nikki finds out what Kim is up to, I think he will still give her a chance. But I think Kim's a little too dangerous for Nikki, and I'd prefer Nikki walk away.
Okay, so you and I are on opposite sides of this. Yes, Kim is too dangerous for Nikki, who wants to go to London and be a writer. However, the relationship is based on a lie. Nikki agrees to go along with Jay's prank, not realizing that Kim is on this mission to avenge her father's murder. So he doesn't realize that he sets into motion true violence.
Yeah, he triggered real violence.
So it feels icky to have a romantic relationship launch from a bedrock of lies that set into motion chaos.
But Kim might be thankful that, you know, they gave her that push to avenge her father, who she's carrying around.
Not a moment of gratitude. Oh, yeah, she's carrying her father's ashes around.
Yep, gotta check off her before I die list now that the world is ending.
I love that on that list was the movie She's All That.
And this means she might also do some other crazy things. We only saw like one or two pages from that book.
We don't know what's to come.
What do you think her mother's role is going to be?
I think that they're going to have a reunion and it will be awkward, maybe heartfelt, and also violent.
Like her mom won't restrain herself when it comes to like pulling her back.
The story seems to be that her mom became a survivalist after her father's murder. So if violence had you go into a bunker essentially like that, then there's a reason your daughter's a hell of a fighter. She probably taught her how to fight.
I think it's safe to assume her mother taught her everything she knows.
So do you want to watch more episodes of 2 Weeks to Live?
I'd watch again casually. I'm not completely sure where this story is going. So I think I'll take my time following Kim and Nikki on this journey. How do you feel?
You know, I love a dark humor moment. So I am going to watch again seriously. I would recommend our listeners who like dark comedies to do the same. Maisie Williams is a badass in this show. Yes, it's kind of uneven, but I would say it's just really fun. It's a fun watch.
If you want to find some more fun watches, check out our other reviews on our website at thepilotpodcast.com. And you can subscribe to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at The Pilot Pod, and you can send thoughts, feelings, show recommendations. We just did Steven Universe Future last week. Shout out to the listeners who recommended that to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.